That means don't rattle the paper.
Good morning. Are you on? Are you going to take the show there, Bob?
No.
Well, you just did. So
it's Monday morning. It's Monday morning, and I was going like this at the paper, so there you go. All right.
Well, fine. Why don't you two do this?
Well, why don't you start, Carl? Come on.
No.
Take the floor.
Go for it.
Good morning.
Good morning, North County. North County. North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's 7:06. It would have just been 7:05, but I'm in the middle of a chaotic situation here. It's a takeover. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming and we're chatting on KCNR1460.com. Today is January 10th, and it's cold. And Bad Bob's with us, if you all were not listening right at the beginning. Good morning, Bad Bob.
And good morning. I apologize for the momentary chaos as we put ourselves together, but what a great day.
Yeah, it is a great day. You know, currently 30 degrees. Well, we woke up this morning. We thought, what else could go wrong electronically? I love it. But morning frost this morning with a high of 50, with a slight chance of rain tonight, with lows of around 33 degrees. Weather Stories brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Good morning. Okay, as we're getting ready here on Monday morning for the kickoff on January 10th this morning, a couple things come to mind. One of them was, of course, the biggest electronic convention in the world happened in Las Vegas. And, Bob, I know you with Boomer Tech, but, you know, there's an article that came out that talked about what they considered to be, you know, what was new and interesting. How about for you?
Well, nothing really was a huge surprise. Verizon didn't make the big iPhone announcement. That may happen tomorrow. The interesting thing was the product of the event that got the accolades is one that is still in development, so it doesn't really exist. The operating system doesn't really exist. The Motorola Zoom tablet. And so it gets top awards when it's not really even out and there is no planned release date. So I was kind of puzzled by that, the power of marketing. But there were some interesting products. Nothing really earth-shattering this year, but onward and upward with the stuff.
Well, according to this article, it said that many manufacturers showed tablet computers with the potential to give Apple iPads a run for its money. And while we were gone over the New Year's, three of the people that we were with had iPads. And yesterday I was flipping around and I saw on QVC or one of those shopping channels another kind of gadget that was not an iPad that ran for about $250 that did all the things without the name iPad on it. You could email, you could read, you could transfer your Kindle over to it. And I thought, well, I wonder if it's just if it truly is as good, if it's kind of an instrument. And of course, Bob's shaking his head.
Right now is not the time to buy a tablet. 6 months, 8 months down the road, maybe. Right now is not the time to buy a tablet because it's very much a chaotic situation. The Android operating system needs a lot of work, and it'll be interesting to see what Apple does when they make their announcement around about April. And, Carl, we've hogged it enough, sir.
Well, besides the fact that, do you want to read about what movie was number one over the weekend? Of course, you saw it.
You know, part of that other thing, too, is when we're talking about electronics, is the Disney and Yahoo and Internet TV content talks. And Walt Disney is in discussions on allowing content from its television networks to be available on sets embedded with Yahoo's Internet TV software. Now, this is something that's going to be huge in the future. If you have not been reading about it, my friends, that Internet TV in 4 years is going to be kind of, you know how where the DVDs, the rental of DVDs was 4 or 5 years ago, where now you can just download them straight from the like Netflix or Amazon.com. Right now they're looking real hard is that your internet's going to be fed directly into your TV, and it can be done by little widgets. Disney's looking to create widgets, and that's their name, for ESPN, ABC, and Disney Networks that would pipe content to Yahoo-connected TV sets, and the widgets would be free to consumers, the paper added. Meanwhile, News Corp is also in talks with companies, including Samsung Electronics Company, about licensing TV shows and movies for use on tablets and internet-connected TVs. Now, this is the future. all the stuff that you're going, you know, TV is going to be going across the internet. It's going to be going directly into your home, and you're going to have all different types of programming, I believe. And we got to take a break, but the number one show was
True Grit.
Let me tell you, I never thought I'd say this, but you know, John Wayne, who was so great in True Grit, well, he always will be. He won the Academy Award for that. But True Grit this weekend is well worth seeing.
And True Grit currently
no profanity.
Belongs to the cast. It was a phenomenal movie. We want to see it again. I want to see it again.
And we got to take a break now. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, Carl Lindebaugh, January 10th. 2011, 7:14 in the morning. Okay, let's get to the shooting over the weekend. Another example of what happens when the media goes wild, unfettered. It started with reports right away. NPR broke the story that the congresswoman had been shot, Gabrielle Giffords of Arizona, and then immediately reported that she was dead. Well, that wasn't true, of course. And then everybody gets onto this bandwagon. Who can report the most? Who can report that she is, you know, not that she's dead first? And every other thing that came out, the shooter, Jared Longer, 22 years old with a troubled past, they were linking him. He was an Afghan veteran. Not true. Member of different groups. Not true. It appears that this person who killed these people, including a 9-year-old girl, is somebody that's just very severely mentally ill. There may be more to it, but right now, as of this morning, that's what it looks like. And of course, the people, including New York Times, jumped right on it and said it had to be Tea Party. It had to be people that were pushed, you know, to the limit by talk radio. But I think they're going to find out when they get into it that you're going to find out this person that shot all these people was just crazy. We'll see. He's got a lawyer now, and they're going through, they're investigating the case. I mean, the sheriff down there where it happened said it couldn't have happened in a vacuum. Well, yeah, it can't, because, you know, my friends, just sometimes things like that happen. He had passed a background check. He had by the FBI, even though it said that he had had several arrests, he had never had been in any jail time. So the one thing it could maybe do is the rhetoric that we hear so much of in Congress could perhaps be tamed. I'm not sure. There's going to be a moment of silence, and we will also honor that moment of silence here. Right around 8 o'clock, we'll take a quick break here. You know, but one of the things about it, when the president says we should have a moment of silence for the congresswoman, which I understand and I support that. What about those moments of silence, though, for those soldiers and Marines and sailors and airmen that have been killed in combat, that are killed in Afghanistan? Do we have, in Iraq, do we have a moment of silence when that happens? I don't think so. And I think we should, because I think maybe it'll start driving home the fact we still have a war going on and that we should maybe appreciate more what's happening out there with our young men and women. And it's terrible what happened to the congresswoman, just absolutely horrible. And this person that did it should be punished to the highest, held to the highest standards and be punished up to the utmost if it's decided that he knew what he was doing. If he was insane, well, that's something else, and that's up to juries. The thing about it too is that the wounding of the congresswoman, she was shot in the head. It went through her head, and the miraculous part of this is that it traveled the length of the left side of her brain, and it stayed on that one side of the brain. Fortunately, the doctors say, not hitting the so-called eloquent areas in the brain center where wounds would almost prove fatal, and that she is responding non-verbally to simple commands. Here's the mystery of brain injuries, according to the doctors. There's no way to predict just how much disability a wound that traverses multiple regions will leave, because our neural connections are so individual. The same injury in me and you could have different effects, said the doctor Arabi, chief of neurotrauma at University of Maryland Shock Trauma Center. So our prayers and our wishes, our hopes go out for the Congresswoman that she has a full recovery. Now, getting to local.
Well, there was a chat, going back, I'm sorry, to our chat room, and we really love to have you guys chat with us that way, and we can read your comments. And there was a comment this morning that is this really parallels and absolutely that arbitrarily assigning motive and blame for that shooting should be done very carefully. And at this point, it comes down to the responsibility of journalism, sensationalism. I believe that the guy who was the shooter, he's been getting so much attention, but he is going to actually, speak today? They're going to have him speak today, the guy who's the shooter?
No, he's in court today.
He's in court today.
Yeah, he's not speaking today.
If he's in court, doesn't he have to say something
doesn't
in court?
He just stands there. His lawyer will take care of everything. What it's going to be is we're going to start diving, going really deep into his background to see this, because somebody's going to want to blame somebody for this. One of our chat rooms says, and I don't know if this is a real, headline, but it says Congress reacts, Dems proposed gun restrictions and ban on threatening language or symbols. Now, if I don't know if that's a true headline, but it wouldn't surprise me if something like this happens. You know, the thing is that to keep blaming, we need to just kind of take a step back and see what, and let this play out and see what the authorities say on it. How can you, lay blame until they've done the investigation? You know that that this guy shot her, and he was tackled by a couple people, including a 61-year-old lady who jumped into the fight. And while they had him on the ground, when he was reaching for another magazine, and she pulled it from his hand. The fact is he's in custody, and the investigation is going on. I think people should take that and let's see what happens. We've got to take a break. Carl Endebot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Yeah, 60, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl Endebot, 724, January the 10th. And it is 30 degrees. I think it's a lie. I think it's colder than that. 605-4567, KCNR1460.com is the way we stream, and you can chat. And the chat room's going for it. Okay, this portion of the show brought to you by BNT Satellite. Doug Tooley has got that. They've just moved to 1345 Liberty Street, right down in downtown Reading. Phone number there is 244-1988. They put in Dish Satellite. They do a great job. We have Doug's company put in Dish Satellite in our home, and we're very, very happy with that. And he has rebates going right now. Call him at 244-1988, BNT Satellite.
Another study that I would like to share with you this Monday morning. This comes out of New York. The brain relishes harmony, this study says. Whether it's the Beatles or Beethoven, people like music for the same reason they like eating or having sex. It makes the brain release a chemical that gives pleasure, a new study says. The brain's substance, dopamine, is involved both in anticipating a particularly thrilling musical moment and feeling the rush from it, researchers found. I want to share with you last night, Katie Wallace, the young 16-year-old double bassist. We had a fundraiser for her last night at the Senior Hall, and it was very, very well attended with a murder mystery dinner theater kind of theme.
We won't go into that.
And we had lasagna and
homemade
lasagna, and a bunch of musicians came out, Chris Yubachi and Bruce Kalin, and a young saxophonist, and I got to get up and sing a song with Katie, and she is just a wonderful young gal that has been chosen or selected to go to China to play in the Philharmonic, and that's what it was.
That's
a great outpouring of
yes.
the community.
Yes,
so many people came out, and from all different walks of life, we were like, wow.
Yep.
Okay, so
you name it, they were there.
Because music does fill your soul.
Speaking of filling your soul, it looks like the county's voting for a $1.5 million project on methane. Is that filling your soul? What it is the county has to find a way to take care of greenhouse gases that comes out of the county landfill. So they're doing a study right now. I think it's going to be like $200,000 to find a way to handle these greenhouse gases, which is methane that's coming out of the of the landfill. So they're going to be voting tonight on if they're going to do this with the company to do the study. Because first you have to have a study, but then you have to put a burner in there, and that's what we're going to have to do. Now, I, not realizing that methane was that going to be that serious a problem, perhaps we should be thinking about mini burners, Bad Bob, mm-hmm. for the city council area.
Yep.
Over at the Board of Supervisors. Mini methane. These are mini methane.
Yeah.
And in all the all the radio stations for sure. Okay. What? Linda looks at me strange here. Brown's budget. Governor Brown has promised all of us something. Pain. That's what he said. It's going to hit everybody. It's going to be painful. It's going to hit the education. It's going to hit everything. And in fact, he is doing away with the Secretary of Education Department, since it is redundant, one of many that does the same job. Now, my question to that is, how many others are like this? He did say he was going to start consolidating departments. Great idea. Just imagine if you could cut the government down by, say, 20%, and how much money you would save on that. And what about commissions? Are people being paid, money to be on these commissions? The other thing, too, is, why doesn't he just, save a few billion and go after the people that owe taxes? Why don't you go after them? There's billions of dollars owed by people that owe the state taxes, the sales tax, property taxes. And what about this? I know this is something that's strange, and he probably would never even think about it, and that's never been raised, but how about illegals? How about them only being able to go, illegals only being able to go to a hospital if it's a true emergency and it's not just your regular, medical care? How about that they have to pay out-of-state tuition instead of in-state tuition? How about shutting the border and just taking money away from those that are here illegally, puts people, citizens that are here legally back to work, and takes the other ones out? What's wrong with that? Okay. Last thing here is Wally Herger. We saw Congressman Herger on Saturday. We asked him about the shooting, and he thought, of course, it was a horrible tragedy, and he had no more information about it than the rest of us did through the media. At least that was of Saturday. He's got a new bill that's going to allow more use of roads in our national forest. We've been pushed out of our forest, not the government's, our forest. And this new bill will specify that maintenance level 3 roads are not highways and does not regulate it in that way, allowing people to use the backcountry roads. What a great idea. This is nonpartisan. This is a way to get back into the backcountry or backcountry of our national forest. A great idea, Wally. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. When we come back, our guest will be Sirs, Sons in Retirement. Welcome back, Free Fire Media. Carla and Linda Bott, good morning, 7:34, January 10th, 2011. It's like 30 degrees out there. Hey, our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming and chatting at KCNR1460.com. This portion of the show is brought to you by Crystal Air. That's Crystal Air at www.crystalair.info. And did you know that 80% of the average household's energy consumption is related to heating, air conditioning, and water heating systems. GeoExchange Heating and Air Conditioning has proven it can cut your heating and air conditioning consumption by up to 60%. Give Crystal Air a call at 530-623-1000, and they'll tell you the whole story. That's Crystal Air, 623-1000. Okay, guest in studio, we have... We try to have many of our local groups here, of course, because community. And we like to get the word out about our community. Well, this group, we actually know because we've been to their meetings, one of their meetings, and it is Sons in Retirement. And our guests today are Paul Poling. Good morning.
Morning.
And Tom Vanelstein.
Vanelstein.
Well, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Okay. Who wants to tell me what SERS is?
Well, SERS is an organization that was founded in 1958. It's strictly a California nonprofit corporation. And SERS, we have a branch here in Redding, and we have almost 200 members. And it's retired people that are looking for some activities things to do, and they really, we just have a good time, and we don't go out and do any
wild and crazy things, huh?
Yeah, we're not a service club.
Right.
And so, therefore, most people have not heard of us because of that. What we're there for, we're there for the members. And we have a lot of different activities within the club that you can enjoy. We have two types of golf, 8-hole and 18-hole and 9-hole. We have a fishing group. We have a computer group. And we have any group that any member wants to start. And that's what we do, is we are a club that exists for its membership.
Now, this purpose is to provide friendship and welfare of retired men, right?
Yes.
That's right. So this is kind of like a men's club.
Yes, it keeps old men off the streets.
It's particularly good for people that come from, just moved into Reading, and they're looking to meet people and get involved in activities, and this is perfect for that.
Okay, now you meet down at the Elks Lodge the third Wednesday of each month.
Correct.
And with guest speakers and a catered lunch.
Correct.
So, and we've been down there before. Linda and I have been down there. You asked us to speak and tell us, you know, about our brand of insanity, which we did. You filled up the Elks. You filled up the Elks Lodge that day. There's a lot of you guys.
That's right.
Would you say like 200 of you?
We have 200 members, and we generally get 150 to 160 that attend the monthly meetings.
So this is a fun group too. Linda and I had a good time. They told me to sit down. They wanted Linda to get up and talk. And
unfortunately, I was the guy that said that.
Oh, okay. Well, then, Bad Bob, turn off Paul's microphone. We'll talk to Tom. Uh-huh. You know, you do. It looks like you have a lot of activities, and this is just a way for retired gentlemen then to our men. To kind of get together, have, you know, find other people that have interest in their hobbies. You have card games, and you have all. I mean, it's kind of cool.
Yes, we have had all kinds of activities, and we will do any activity that is legal that anybody wants to do.
Well, so does that mean you got like a medicinal marijuana group?
No, I don't think that one. I don't think that one got off the ground.
Okay, just wondering. Okay, well now when's okay? So it's what the. Which the first
it's
Wednesday?
The third Wednesday of the month is our meetings.
Okay.
And we have, on the first Wednesday of the month, we meet, our fishing group meets, and we have a couple of retired bass pros that run the meeting. And I can tell you that I love to fish, and I was a terrible fisherman until I got into this. And now I can say that it's rare that I get skunked when I go out on the lake. These guys really know what they're doing. Our 18-hole golfer group travels all over the North State, and we get generally 50-plus members every month, or twice a month we play. And our 9-hole group is kind of for beginners or guys that just want to go out and socialize and play a little golf. That we do around Reading, and that's more social than golfing.
Okay. Now, how do people get a hold of you?
They can call either myself, Paul Poling, at 243-9341.
Or they can call me, Tom Van Alstyne, at 275-5836.
Okay. Sons of Retirement. I suppose you can probably find that in the Yellow Pages or something.
No.
Okay. So give those numbers one more time.
Paul Poling, 243-9341.
And Tom Van Alstyne, 275-5836.
Or you can call Bad Bob at the station. Okay, hey, Jay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Jay.
Well, you know, I think it's great you guys have something like that. I mean, you know the difference between a young stud and a dirty old man, don't you?
Oh, I don't know, do we? And, you know, Bob's got his finger over the delete button, Jay. So,
timing.
What is it? Timing. Hey, you know what, Jay? We'd like to, let's talk to all of our listeners, too. Is Jay, of course, is our yellow cab man. And our taxi guy, and he and his fellow drivers are now advertising on the station. And we just want to ring our bell for Jay. I know that hurt. I'm Bad Bob. That's what you get for getting too close. We want to ring the bell for yellow cab drivers, and we end yellow cab, for advertising on the station. Thanks a lot, Jay.
Jay,
well,
you
thank you. I appreciate that. And gentlemen, I'm probably about 40 years out from joining you guys, but it sounds like a great organization you got there. Way to go.
Jay, you made me nervous because the guy that runs our fishing group is named Jay, and I thought he was going to call and tell me that I'm still not a good fisherman.
Okay, hey, we got a break here. Hey, thank you so much, Jay, and thanks, Paul and Tom, for coming on and telling us about SIRS.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah, we're going to take we'll take Gary on the other side of this break. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Media. 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. January 10th, 2011, 7:45 in the morning, 605-4567, and KCNR 1460. We are streaming and chatting. Okay, let's head on back to the the shooting. The it appears that now, you know, they're going after, of course, Sarah Palin and anybody else that's on, you know, that's considered conservative. And you know what? This is going to happen. You know, when you say, and the reason we're bringing it back up is that's all that's in the chat room right now. So if you have an opinion, please give us a call at 605-4567. Let the rest of our audience hear it, too. They're talking about this one person that, and I'm not going to use his name, but he's on some station in the San Francisco area, which should tell you something, that talks about how, you know, Palin's to blame for this. And, you know, the problem with instant media, which we have now, is that where it used to be, you know, you've got your news from one source or two sources or three sources. Now you've got 24 hours a day. You've got people trying to fill the air. They're trying to do these things. So they come up with just outlandish statements. And then plus, you know, let's face it, when you, and if you've got people that are listening, the more people they can bring in, the more money they make. I mean, that's, you know, that's it, right? Bad Bob, you've been in radio for 50 years.
If it bleeds,
of course,
it bleeds,
yeah, of course, I say that, and your mic's not on.
Well,
yeah,
I've turned it down when I use the phone, but yeah,
that's true.
It's amazing. It's almost like all the press releases were prepared, waiting for an event.
Well, you know, here's what you can see is going to be coming. Oh my gosh, you know, if this insane person didn't have access to a high capacity magazine and a weapon, he could have been stopped. Well, no. I mean, it's this kind of thing is, well, now let's start, you know, tapping away at gun rights again. Yeah, I can see probably that's going to come. I can see where they're going to try and blame it on conservative groups because the congresswoman was a liberal, but she was a Democrat. She wasn't what you'd call Pelosi. A Pelosi galore type of liberal, but she was a liberal. I mean, not a liberal, but she was a Democrat. I'm not saying she was liberal. She was a Democrat. She voted for the health care plan, and somebody smashed a window to her office there in Arizona in one of her campaign offices. But what I'm saying is that to try to draw people into this is ridiculous.
Do you have a concern, as I do, Carl, that if there is some overreactive legislation, will that possibly push other people into thinking that maybe this guy had a point? That's my concern at this deal, that it may shove someone else over that thin line.
Well, you know, see the thing. Well, that's something too. But you know, if the guy is, and they're saying this. I mean, this is coming out from the sheriff's office. There's something wrong with him, obviously. But they're saying that he's mentally impaired. But the point, and this is what one of our chatters has said, is that you can't limit freedoms based on a single action or a single episode. Absolutely not. And what it's going to do is it's going to get people riled up again. And if you think it's going to drop the rhetoric, I'm not sure that's going to happen. I think, if anything, it might. Because of people like this down there out of San Francisco saying that Palin needs to be arrested and put in jail. It's, you know, so that really kind of quieted the rhetoric, didn't it? So it's ridiculous. And you know, one guy says Olbermann has doubled his viewership to 4. Of course, you know how I feel about Keith Olbermann. The bottom line, though, is this. Again, people are going to overreact. And we, as citizens and common-sense citizens and people from the North State who are just filled with common sense, is that we've got to take a step back here and wait to see what they say about the shooter before you say anything about him being associated with any group, with you know, that he was pushed to this by the you know, a group that just made it so clear to him he had to do this. I don't believe that.
Weather's currently 35 degrees. I love this variation of 5 degrees, but 35 according to Redding.com, and it will be high today of 50. So we're in the ish zone here, but it will be fair today with chances of rain tonight. We're going to take a break. It's 7:49 here on the 10th of January. It's Carl and Linda Bott here on KCNR 1460. Dang. Oh, yeah. Is this Macarena?
Admit it. You danced this, didn't you?
I never really learned how to do it, but it sure made me want to get up. I love, you know what, this was always, you know how you have the wedding song or the break the ice song? 7:53 in the morning. If you're just getting up, you've got to be throwing your covers back going, ooh, it's cold. It's 30, between 30 and 35, depending on what you're looking at. But we're going to say right now it feels like 30, so we're going to say it's 30. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. By the way, Candice Lavolsi will be doing two performances on February 13th. That is a, or maybe February 14th, I'm sorry.
February 13th.
Okay, and it's a, there's a 2 and a 5 seating, so you might want to call out there. Don't wait till the last minute. 474-5546. Fabulous. They sell out fast for the Valentine's Day extravaganza that they have out there. And, my gosh, we have a lot of things coming up. We've got the crab feed. What
yeah.
do you, what?
Well, no, nothing. I was...
Well, the guys are outside. Pretty soon they're going to come on. We're going to talk about this Saturday, December 16th, is at 1 o'clock out at the Igo Cemetery. We're going to be talking about that in a minute. It's the Pearl Harbor tribute. The memorial will be going up.
Yeah, we have Senator Maurice Johannesson and Greg Rappa here. And they're going to be talking about that. And they're going to be talking about some other veterans issues also. The chat room is still going strong here. You know, the thing about it is if you're public, if you're somebody that's in the public eye, you've just got to always kind of consider that there's going to be somebody out there that's a little bit strange. I'm not saying that somebody that's a little strange goes out and starts shooting people. That person, there's something definitely wrong with them. But the congressmen, the you know, people that are, you know, in public office like that, it's such a shame, that it reaches like that. But then if you think about it, how many incidents like this are there really? There's very few incidents like this where somebody goes after a political figure with a weapon. In our, you know, and people talk about, oh, it's the rhetoric. Well, the rhetoric has been around since forever. If you ever read the papers back in the 1700s, 1800s, the things they used to say about each other and the politicians, it was just, I mean, nothing like you see today. I mean, just name calling, and, you know, they'd be calling their wives names and everything. Of course, back then, you could also get into duels.
Well, the last time we had, I think, something of this magnitude was Fort Hood. Maybe there's been one afterwards, but Fort Hood just, I mean, maybe it was the coverage. Seeing the children and the families, it was just gut-wrenching.
Well, you know what, this is kind of an that's really an interesting point, honey, because the Fort Hood one and the shooter, the major there, yelled Allah Akbar, and it started the shooting. And yet everybody said, well, wait a minute, you can't blame everybody that's of the Islamic faith because of this guy. And you know what, you're absolutely right, you can't. So this guy comes in and shoots, and everybody says, oh, well, he's obviously tied to all these right-wing groups. Well, whoa, wait a minute. Where were you back then? The point is that you can't condemn groups or movements or religions or anything on one person.
A nut is a nut.
Yeah, one person, one incident. I don't know about this guy. May not be a nut. He may be perfectly sane, just like that major is down there, or the shooter is down at Fort Hood. But I just would hope is that both sides, again, back off on this. Anyway. Okay, the other things are, you know, happening right here in town. Again, the city council, the bill again, and then of course for the Herger's bill. I really like that because it's kind of like taking back our, it's taking back our roads and our forest, so we can use them again. Having them shut down by one person is so amazing how you could do that. To say that the level three dirt roads are the equivalent of highways, California Highway Patrol wouldn't even agree with that one. In fact, they didn't. They said, "Wait a minute, that's not what we said." And this is also the entire board of supervisors of our county all voted against this. All tried to talk to this to the woman that heads this up from the Trinity Forest. She just completely ignored it. Well, now this bill, hopefully, this bill was going to be allowed back into the forest. Plus, there's other parts of it. Now, this doesn't mean just do away with the whole idea of controlling what goes on the roads. Of course not. It just means, let's bring some common sense into this. Why can't we use the roads that are level three? We know they're dirt roads. We know that they're something that you take, off-road vehicles on. And why do we have, as soon as you take a car off the road or an RV off the road or your truck off the road, that you have to, it has to meet certain specifications, you've got all these rules. Why can't you just drive on the road? Why can't you park your car and walk down to a stream? Why can't you do that? Why are all these rules just to make it harder? And I tell you why it is, in this last minute and a half, it's control again. We're right back into control. Control the people. Control the people, and then they'll be happy. We'll control them. And so these forests that the people pay for, they don't need to see it. But we're trying to protect them back there. Well, protect us from what? You're trying to control everything. The government is trying to control everything. And in this case, one woman who did it, who signed it, even though that I can't blame, I'm not even using her name, I can't even really blame her, because you know it's got to have come from someplace else. That it's come from someplace where she's, to get along, or that if she wants to further her career, she's just going right along with what they say. So now, and it's a shame that we have to have, it has to be a bill introduced into Congress and voted on that says, by the way, you can use those roads that you paid for that the government has made into a national forest. Anyway, hey, when we come back after the break, we're going to have Greg Raffa and Senator Maurice Johannesson. And in this last 20 or 30 seconds, we're also going to have a moment of silence for the Congresswoman.
KCNR, Shasta Ready.
Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, 8:05 in the morning. It's 605-4567 is our phone number, and we're chatting and we're streaming at KCNR1460.com. If you haven't chatted before, you can listen to us over the computer. And then if you want to, just jump in there and make a few comments. It's anonymous, but our anonymous commenters are very, very polite to each other. We like that.
It's currently 30 degrees this morning. It is January 10th. And it is 2011. I found myself the other day still doing 10 on my check. So it might take a month or so. I don't know. How is that for you? 8:05 in the morning. This portion of the show is brought to you by one of our favorite places to have coffee and join our friends. And that is Tobacco and Brew and Espresso Joe's on Hilltop Drive.
2143 and finest walk-in humidor. And like Linda says, great coffee fixed the way you want it. And they have a meeting room there. That they open up to our community, and they open it up for free. And Joe and Shelley, you can't just say enough about them. They support our community and our veterans. And speaking of which, we have two of our more notable veterans and personages of the North State, Senator Maurice Johannesson. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, everybody.
And Greg Arapa, who heads up so many of our veterans, heads up the AMVETS Post 4. Which is the Emojo Post.
Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Linda.
Good morning,
Carl.
Everybody.
So, let's talk about AMVETS. What exactly is AMVETS?
Well, AMVETS was created by the World War II veterans, roughly about 1943 and 1944. 10 million veterans came back, and it was on the front cover of the Collier magazine. And they just fought the greatest war in the history of mankind besides World War One. But what they saw, what happened to the World War One veterans, they decided to form their own organization called American Veterans of World War Two. The history of that goes right to President Johnson in 1964 that finally allowed Korean War veterans to finally join. And in 1984, Reagan said that all veterans need to have a home for every veteran. And they opened it up to all veterans, and that included the National Guard and Reserves in the last 7 to 8 years. So one of the reasons why I got involved with the American Veterans, and I'm also a lifetime member of the VFW and belong to the American Legion, we need to support all our veteran service organizations in this country.
Well, you know, that's absolutely true. And, you know, there's so many, you know, there seems like there's more and more organizations popping up all the time, though, different veterans organizations.
Veterans organizations, but specifically, you today are wearing the hat of AmVets.
That's
and
correct.
So we wanted to kind of shine a look through the window or the looking glass of what does AmVet stand for and how did it originate, et cetera.
Well, this particular post was started with a charter March 1st of this last year, 2010. December of 2009, I called Maurice Johannesson and asked and requested through him and his wife it was okay if we named our post after Maurice Johannesson. So we did, and it was signed into a contract here in the state of California, the Maurice Johannesson Mojo AmVets Post 4, and we meet the second Thursday of every month all the way up through June at Tobacco and Brew on Hilltop. Joe is also a member and a chartered member like you, Carl, our chartered member like Maurice and myself to this new post. We're out there outside the box with young veterans, showing them how to cross their T's, dot their I's, look for secondary conditions on their presumptive service connections, show them that the college benefits. And, for instance, this last Thursday night, you were there for a little while. We had, to welcome home AmeriCorps individual, Jared, from the Northern California, came in and gave us a class on what they're trying to do for veterans. The job market's horrible out here for veterans. And all veteran service organizations and fraternal organizations are suffering because they don't have enough young people that actually can afford to even join some of these organizations because there are no jobs, and they're suffering trying to get gas money to even make it to some of the meetings.
Well, you know, we've got to take a quick break here. When we come back, we want to talk about with the Senator and Greg about... I want to talk about the number of different organizations that have come in and my concerns, believe it or not, my concerns about that. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. To Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning, January the 10th, 2011, 8:13 in the morning, 605-4567, or we're chatting and streaming at KCNR 1460. This portion of the show is brought to you by BNT, and Doug Tooley, who does it's a Dish Satellite. And his phone number is 244-1988. Does great job. He's been in the business since 1985, and he is a veteran also of the 82nd Airborne. Doug does great work with Dish Satellite, and he has rebates right now that you might even be able to get HD TV for free, but you need to call him, 244-1988.
We have two of our favorite people in the house that are just, when we see them around town, we know these are two very active people who really lay it out there on a continual basis.
That's right, Greg Rappa and Senator Maurice Johannesson. You know, one of the things that the AmVets Post 4 is really, really pushing out there is to get the younger veterans and get them involved. One of the things that we've noticed, and of course you all who have been so important in getting all of the veterans issues up on the top of the place everybody can see it, is that that group that's doing this is getting older, and the younger veterans are not joining the organizations in the numbers that they could, because we have hundreds of thousands of veterans returning from the global war on terror.
That's correct.
What can we do to reach out to our younger veterans?
One of the main things that we can do is provide a safe environment for these veterans that are coming back. You know, there's a lot of veterans that have a lot of syndromes. You're talking to veterans that have fibromyalgia, staph infections of the brain, brain trauma injuries, vaccine A illnesses, depleted uranium poisonings, rare diseases coming out of their eyes now where they've got a worm that's coming out of the Mideast has affected some of our veterans. They don't know what to do with them. We're trying to fight for their rights. And this is what AMVETS is very good at, is writing resolutions. We wrote a resolution in 2007 with the RECA program. I think we were in here to discuss that with you, Carl, where we opened up a can of worms in this country with vaccine A illnesses and depleted uranium poisoning that we added to Bob Filner's congressional bill that we added to and was passed in our Congress, and now it is a presumptuous service connection for our veterans. We have to teach our veterans how to play the politics. The squeaky wheel does get the grease. And this is where the wisdom comes in with an icon like Maurice Johannesson. He's been there, done it, and he can show our young veterans that don't give up, don't falter, and never leave a veteran behind.
Well, you know, but that's true. We have veterans returning, you know, many of our veterans returning with illnesses and ailments and that. But many, many others are coming back without that. And they, too, though, are just, you don't see them stepping up. You see some of them, most of them are not stepping up to say, hey, you know what, I want to belong to an organization because I believe that we're going to have to watch out for ourselves, that the government really is not going to do that.
Well, you know, I'm going to add to that because there's a national study that just come out. 8% of our veterans are 44 years of age and below. And that goes for all the veteran service organizations in this country.
You mean the ones that belong to veterans organizations?
Yes, veteran service organizations. And, of course, if you take a look at the population, 1% of our veterans actually serve our country, and over 60% of them are National Guard that are active in the Mideast. The veterans are coming back just like we did. They were a little bit upset, a little bit angry. They can't find a job. They're going to college. They're trying to make their families work. And one of my pet peeves for veterans is how alienation to their children is happening to the veterans through divorces and separations, which I don't think is a fair shake for our veterans. And that's something that our post is going to be working on with a resolution on the Old Soldier Sailors Act that took place in the early 1900s. We have a lot of violations in the state of California and all through the country about why are they taking our children away from our veterans, whether it's a man veteran or a woman veteran. They can make a case, they can lie about it, but if you add anxiety and more depression to a veteran coming back to this country, this is what our post is going to be doing. So we are going to write a resolution, present it January 21st in the Department of California, AMVETS, and see where it goes.
Okay. Senator.
Yeah. Now, actually, you know, one of the reasons that I am here, and I think that Greg has eloquently explained what we are trying to do with that post, one of the most important things that we need is the publicities and these things that we try to make people understand what not only what the veterans are facing, but what we are trying to achieve. And case in point, I don't know if everybody knows that or not yet, but AMVET, the state AMVET, sent $25,000 up here to us to the post to be used for the cemetery, not the cemetery, but the chapel itself. And that is huge. I mean, these are some of the things that we really need. And the other portion, of course, that we're very grateful for the need is the help that this station and you two really have done for us. And with that in mind, Greg and I wanted to give you this resolution here that you have from the post to both of you, and in appreciation of all the stuff that you're doing for the veterans.
Well, thank you. It's beautiful.
Wow.
It's a certificate of
the Maurice Johannesson Mojo AMVETS Post for Certificate of Appreciation, KCNR Free Fire Radio, Carl and Linda Bott, your commitment, dedication, and help promoting the AMVETS Department of California newly chartered Young Veterans Post for on March 1, 2010 until now is deeply appreciated by our family of veterans.
Well, thank you very much.
We are so
quite a
honored.
Surprise. Yeah.
It's our honor and our way to serve.
Yeah, it's what we can do.
And
yeah.
You deserve this, okay?
Well,
so that's the least we could do.
But also bear in mind what happened when you opened the station and the way you did it and what you have done. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. we're touched. It's, you know, what can I say? Let's take a break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Right here on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, Carl and Linda Bott. January the 10th, 2011, 8:23 in the morning, 34 degrees. Our guests are Senator Maurice Johannesson and Greg Rappa. They're here talking about AMVETS, American Veterans, and other just veterans issues. But AMVETS 4 post, the Mojo post, named after Senator Maurice Johannesson. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Okay, now, Linda asked, how'd you get the name Mojo? Because it's such a part of... I don't know, did you start this, or you just kind of got...
No, actually, the one that started that was Bill Lockyer, who was then the head of the Senate. He walked through the garage down there, and he handed me a button when, as a Republican, of course, I was running, and he was running a Democrat. And the button says, "No more Mojo." And I saved that, and he told me, he says, "Maurice, I just want you to know this button cost me $1 million, so how about taking care of it?" And it's in my display at home.
Oh, Mojo.
Well, I think Mojo also was like another word for a coffee, and you get a little Mojo here going and that. So, and then, well, yeah, but then that was some, yeah, but see, Mojo started a long time ago.
He even be in a Beatles song, if I'm not...
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
But it just fits my M-A-M-O-J-O.
But that's you. But you know,
yeah, I like
that,
it.
Well, I understand it. But that's kind of you. I mean, it's like this
moniker.
You know, this you know, one that gets things going and amped up there. So, hey, you know, gentlemen, one thing that we've got the 20,000 veterans in Shasta County, around that, and you know, thousands and thousands more up here in the northern part of the state, but especially in Shasta County, with that many plus their families. It seems like if the veterans wanted to elect a, you know, a city council or a board of supervisors or just anybody, it seems like they could do that. But yet the veterans, I guess, like truly independent Americans that they are in the North State, very rarely pull together except for incidents like the cemetery.
Well, you know, that it is an interesting phenomenon now, I think, than more so in the past. They get back now. These are, large extent, National Guard people. By the time they're through with one, two, three, four, some of them five tours of duty, by that time they get back, they're trying to put their life back together again. Some of them don't have a life left on when they come back. There's some serious mental problems as a result of that. But also they don't have a job. And they are trying, their effort will have to be put into trying to find a job, trying to do self-supporting again, because all of a sudden they go from a situation, as you well know, in the military, all of a sudden you're on your own again.
Yeah.
You are on your own, and you're lonely, and you don't know where in the world do I turn to get the help. I don't have a job, I don't have a family again. It's terrible, and I think... I understand it, but I just don't know what else we can do than what they're trying to do to reach out to them and get them come home to us.
Well, one of the things, and we just got something in from the chat room, it's the VA has a lot of info on new VA policies on disability claims, other changes. That would be great info.
Tammy Duckworth.
Yeah, yes, that's absolutely true. And that's one of the things that we are going to be doing here on our show. Plus, we've got an announcement to make also, but it's not probably till tomorrow.
Well, thanks
about a
lot.
Way of
keep us in a waiting.
Well, yeah, until tomorrow, and we can make sure it's all going to work. And then, but it'll be a way about pushing veterans' issues also, besides just here on the show and on our website. But I see exactly what you're saying, because when I got out the first time after retiring, that I had nothing to do with the VA or other organizations. I just didn't. I'd had 29 years. I had been going where I was told for a long time, and it was just kind of like, I'm going to do what I want. And so I took jobs in other parts of the world and all that. But this last time getting out was just the opposite. I came back into the fold, and I would recommend that for everybody.
Can I ask, this is interesting, because I'm sitting here interviewing Carl, and maybe your insight for our listeners, for somebody who is some would call a lifer. Was it, Carl, was it for you after you retired, thinking you were retired, that you just wanted to be free? I want to be free from belonging to anything. I just want to do what I want to do. Was that somewhat of the mindset?
I think it is. I think that, and like they said, like Maurice and Greg said, is, you know, you've had several tours in combat. You know, really, it's that time you're trying to put your life back together. And it's not lifers. We call them career people.
Okay, well, for the layman on the street, I've heard that terminology, and I don't mean it negatively at all.
I know that. Hey, you know, so how do we, Greg or Senator, how do we, we've only got like about a minute left here on this one, but what's the first thing we should do to reach out to our young veterans to get them, pull them back into knowing that they're cared for and that we need to get them back into us?
Make sure that we make an effort to contact everyone, at least within a jurisdiction, if you will, in the counties we are now. Find out who they are. Get a hold of them. Meet with them. Talk with them. Become friends with them. Pull them in for a cup of coffee or a brew or whatever. Get them in there so they understand they're not alone. They're not alone. This is their problem. I mean, after all, they have lived for a long time taking orders, and it's difficult to come out and say, now, well, I'm going to be the one to give the orders to myself. Now what do I do? So you need to get them in and get really close to them and take them by the hand.
Well, I think we can do that. We've got people out there. We've got a lot. I think what we're talking about is a mentoring program here, and not something that's a... Well, we've got to take a break here, but not something that is so structured, but a mentoring program from older veterans to younger veterans. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. On KCNR 1460, it's Carl Lindebaugh. Good morning, January the 10th, 2011. It is 8:34 in the morning, and you know what? This portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Right off Athens Avenue. These guys support the veteran community. In fact, if you're a veteran, you get a discount when you go down there for a haircut. And if you mention me or Free Fire Radio, you'll get a hearty laugh, and that's it. Nothing else. So, but DC and Tim and the Man in Black, the great barbershop, and it's man's last stronghold. It's a barbershop, my friends. Don't worry about getting the style. Just go in there, sit down, say, I want a haircut, and they'll do it. At Cypress Square Barbershop.
It's currently 33 degrees this morning on KCNR 1460, 8:35 in the morning, of course, the 10th of January, 2011. Our guest is Mojo, Maurice Johansson, and, of course, Greg Raffa. And we are talking a lot of veterans issues. And I wanted to start off by saying that at one time we were in a meeting with somebody regarding another subject matter, and they said, boy, you guys sure talk a lot about veterans issues. And we were like, yeah, and that's how we started on the radio, because Carl came back after serving in Iraq the second time in 2007, retired in Reading after just getting out of Iraq in May 2007, moved here in 2007, and started a show talking about veterans issues, and therefore has been so involved. And now with, of course, and one of your, you know, the AMVETS for, and this, you know, we're the cemetery and so many things that we are so honored, our veterans. We can't say enough or do enough for those people who have really laid their lives on the line. Whether you agree politically with a lot of things that happen, while we're at war, we're still honoring our veterans, and what we're standing for is the freedom of what we have in our country.
It is. And one of the things that Greg was talking about during the break is when veterans come home, all veterans, is honor.
Yes. In fact, you know, we had this little gathering, a consultation the other night. About 37 people were there, and we were talking about showing dignity, honor, and respect to our veterans. If you're a veteran, you go to the Reading Inpatient Outpatient Clinic and you feel like you're not getting that, make an appointment or get right into the office to talk to Basil Pete Privet, who is the director over there. If that doesn't work, you go to your congressman. You know, we have representatives in our community, and I'm hoping to get both our assemblymen and our senator involved with our post to listen and hear what the veterans are saying, what's happening to them up here in the north state of California. I'm not saying it happens all the time, but any time if it's just one veteran that is shown with no dignity or honor or respect when they go and try to get help, there's a problem. Okay, so we're addressing that with our post. Again, I want to encourage everybody on Thursday nights to get hold of me at Tobacco and Brew. Everybody knows me down there. That's our office. This coming Thursday night, I'll be there at 6 o'clock. And young veterans, I'd like you to come on down and vent and just say we're empowering you to empower yourselves how to play the system, how to work the system, how to get involved. We have a new service officer, by the way, in our post who's a lawyer. Commander Letts, a retired United States Navy Reserve pilot, and he's come on board to work with veterans and Social Security, gratis work, and we just appointed him as our new service officer. And he already met Gary Douglas. He showed everybody up here in the North State, never say no, don't give up. There are special people like him who has a photogenic memory. That's the kind of service officer you want to work for you.
Well, you know, we have... I've been going to the VA clinic since I got back, and I've had great treatment there.
Yeah,
and you know, Pete Privet came aboard about the same time I started there, and you can see a genuine care from this individual about what's going on. The clinic looks like it's going to be expanding. It's already starting to expand because one of the number of veterans that we have in the area. The point, though, is that the veterans that are returning, we've got to find them. We've got to have them reach out. They've got to come to the clinic, and it just nothing else is registered so that they're there. And they've also got to start. We've got to start identifying them, like you said.
Right.
And it's not so much, you know, working a system as it is learning how the system works. And that's where I see. Organizations, service organizations that are so important, and people like yourself, Greg, and the senator, is that knowing how a system works, because it's not an easy system. I mean, it's a bureaucracy any way you look at it. So how can we make it easier for all veterans, not just the ones coming back now, but all of our veterans to use that system? How can we make it better so we have World War II vets that don't have to travel 3 hours for an appointment far away from here because they could do it up here? If they had more money, or if they decided to have that form of treatment up here, like another machine, an MRI or something. Anyway, we have to take a break. Carl Endebott, Free Fire Radio. Our guests are Senator Maurice Johannesson and Greg Raffa, who heads up the AmVets Post number 4.
Good morning. 8:43 here on KCNR, 1460. Are you just tuning in? We're hoping you're having a great Monday morning. Currently 34 degrees. I understand it's supposed to be high today of 46. Brr. This portion of the show is brought to you by Mike's Music on Cypress Avenue. All things sound, Mike's Music sound, guitars and rehearsal rooms. And if you buy a guitar or a piano, they're going to make a package deal for you so you can get lessons and learn from the experts. Mike's Music. Cypress Avenue, 243-3774.
Our guests are Senator Maurice Johannesson and Greg Raffa of course, you know, everybody knows the senator. How could you not know the senator? But many people know Greg also, but Greg has been integral in pushing veterans events, not only events, but veterans' rights and how to work the system. And he is also heads up the AmVets Post 4. So welcome aboard. Gentlemen,
thank you.
One of the things we were talking about during the break, Senator, was 9/11.
Well, one of the things, obviously, when you look at the world as we know it today, who can help it? The problem is that we are so busy with our lives and everything surrounded that once in a while you get knocked back into reality and understand why the military is important and why we are honoring them so much as we do. And I remember the 9/11, when it happened, I was on the floor of the Senate, and I ordered an American flag for each desk in the Senate to be draped in a flag. And this was something that the state took care of. Got in the next morning. We had all the desks covered with flags. And it was a whole attitude changed by that action. And a whole attitude changed. And it stayed with us for quite a while. And then we go back into doldrums again until something else happened. That always in the background, we have to understand the responsibilities we have to our veterans. And the, as Greg has said, the dignity and honor that we give them is so much deserved, and we've got to stay on it because we are in danger all the time in this world.
Well, you know, the, we had a moment of silence for the congresswoman that was shot over the weekend. And, of course, we honored that. But, you know, to me, we should have a moment of silence every time that we lose a young warrior or a warrior in combat. And yet we don't seem to do that. That's something that we'll begin here so that they're remembered. It's a terrible thing what happened to the congresswoman, of course, but it's also it's terrible to lose a life of one of our armed forces that are out there protecting the country. And I think that we take things for granted, just like you said, and 9/11 helped bring it home. But here it is, almost a decade. It will be a decade this year that it happened. And how much has things changed since that day in our world, in our country? And many of the young men and women, the hundreds of thousands that enlisted after that, have come back home, you know, and are back with us now. And as you said, I couldn't believe the multiple tours when I was over there. And these were National Guardsmen. Oh, this was my third time over. And I'm looking at him. I said, you know, and they were spending like, 10, 11, 12 months at a time. And in 2007, that was their third tour over there. So that's, that was quite a few. I mean, if you figure about it, they must have, you know, gone home for 6 months and come back again. So, and trying to reach those people has not been easy.
Well, I'd like to address that, too, and I know Maurice knows this just as well as I do, that, you know, when you get out of the military, there's a little disconnect. You just got done doing comradeship, working as a team, learning the Uniform Code of Military Justice, which is a great book, following the rules and regulations, serving the United States military, whatever branch it is. One of the things that this Mojo Ambass post for is wanting to have the veterans have their own home, and working with their wives and their children. We have children coming to our meetings, and it's a safe haven for the veterans. But at the same time, we're learning things, too, because of the needs of the young female veterans that are coming out. In fact, AMVETS doesn't even have a gender base anymore. We just voted last year on a state level, and it passed on a national level. There's no such thing as a gender veteran. We're all veterans. And this is something that has changed ever since 9/11 also. Women veterans are a very integral part in our post. And some of the needs and the things that they're going through emotionally with their children and their divorces, and we have almost a 90% divorce rate coming out of the military today. Then we take a look at how many deaths are 18 veterans passing away from suicides every day. I mean, there's some issues here. It goes right back to what Marie said earlier about honor, dignity, and respect. We got to continually show that.
Well, you know, it's something that, and people, again, we go back to taking it for granted. And if we can continue to put it up in the forefront so that people appreciate this. And, you know, and again, we go back, and it's, the veterans don't want people, they don't want to be carried around on people's shoulders. That's the last thing they want. They just want to be able to get on with their lives. And if they have earned a benefit, just like you would in any other walk of life, then they should be able to get that benefit without it being a big thing. They should, you know, the government that makes promises to people, to our veterans, should just keep those promises and not change things when it becomes politically expedient to do it. Why do veterans rate more than other people? I mean, why not teachers and why not, blah, blah, blah. You know, the only thing I can say about that in this way I feel is when somebody signs up for the armed forces, you don't know what's going to happen. You may do 20 years and never see combat. Or you may see combat multiple times. You may have to leave that next day and be gone for 6 months, a year, who knows how long. It's one of those few jobs that happens to. So there's got to be something, you know, there's something in there that when the government says, okay, because you've chosen to do this, you've chosen to take this type of pay, you've chosen to make this your type of life, you've chosen to do this, but because of this, we the people of the United States will, you know, will take care of you if you're injured, if things happen to you while you're in service. And that, to me, is the bottom line. It's a promise made, and it should be a promise kept, and shouldn't be something we have to fight for.
And why do they always have to fight it?
That's what
they come back, and they have to fight for the services.
That's what
that
I'm saying.
That is the key, yes, what Greg Raffer was talking about.
Absolutely.
Because if you go to the clinics and so forth, you are in almost like you're in a foreign country.
And you shouldn't have to fight for it.
No.
It's just there.
Well, let me give you an example of what just happened with Congressman Wally Herger recently. In fact, John Klickner wrote a letter all the way to Washington, D.C. to General Schenzinski. Notice of disagreements are called NODs that come out of Oakland. Well, they stopped processing the NODs, and they shipped them all down to San Diego. Congressman Wally Herger got on this, and we're again, now we have to fight again because there's not enough employees being employed in Oakland. Why aren't they hiring veterans to go ahead and help us process those claims? We have a service foundation here in the Department of California that have thrift stores, and what they're going to be doing is hopefully eventually opening up a thrift store up here and just hire veterans. We need to go back to the old days when like the United States Postal Service at one time, they used to hire all veterans. Then I went down to right now, I believe the last case that you can actually get a job through the post office and really get into the stream of it is being hired in maintenance, cleaning toilets, cleaning the floors and so forth. We have a lot of government jobs that aren't being taken by veterans, and we need to hire the veterans because they're one of the hardest working, dedicated people that you could ever hire because of what they learned in the United States military.
Okay, we've got to take a break here. Carl and DeBott here on Free Fire Radio. Our guests are Senator Maurice Johannesson and Greg Raffa of AmVet Post 4.
Back down.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. It is 8:55 in the morning, January the 10th, 2011. Our guests are Senator Maurice Johannesson and Greg Raffa from the AmVets Post. AmVets Post 4. Yeah, I have a problem on Monday. Well, Tuesday.
Well, it's okay.
A couple of dates we want you all to remember that happens this week.
Okay, dates for you to remember. Please circle your calendar. This Wednesday, today's Monday, that's day after tomorrow, January 12th, it is going to be at 11 o'clock a.m., Missing in America Veterans Ashes. We attended this a few years back and had the great honor of carrying an urn, so there's an urn and a flag for each Missing in America person, their ashes. There will be 13 of these
an internment on Wednesday.
Veterans across the country who have been missing and found in veteran various mortuaries, or maybe they've been, their ashes were found somewhere at a who knows where, but now they're going to get their proper place of rest.
Some were found in a yard sale.
Yeah, at the Igo Cemetery. That's Wednesday, and it's a wonderful time. And if you can make it out there at 11 o'clock, take an early lunch, go out there and honor those veterans. Also, this Saturday is going to be a really special day out at Igo Cemetery, and that is at 1 o'clock?
Yes.
The Pearl Harbor Monument Dedication. We've been waiting for this for some time. We've had so many other dedications, wonderful monuments out there, but now Pearl Harbor is going to get their own monument out at beautiful Igo Cemetery. There'll be a wonderful a dedication, and it's a Saturday. Bring your family, bring your kids out. This is a time to really kind of bring it home about the historical part of what happened on December 7th and what Pearl Harbor means. And so many of these Pearl Harbor survivors are now, they're just, you know, they're at an age where they're leaving this world, and it's just important. And we're going to have, I don't know how many Pearl Harbor survivors out there.
I think there's like, nine around here in Reading, but and we're going to have one of them on Thursday. We're going to have Mike Wiley and Mel Fisher will be on Thursday to talk about the dedication of the monument. We're very honored to do that.
These are great guys.
Okay, we have just a couple minutes left, Senator. Last thoughts here.
Well, I just hope we do what we are meant to do. They're supporting the veterans. Do everything we can in order to help them understand the trauma they're going through and feel it for them, and make sure that we talk to them, guide them, and help them through the trying times that they will have coming back.
Greg?
I want to get back to the mentorship program. The Mojo AmVets Post 4 is into a two-year mentorship program. We have some great people like Mike Wiley, Fred Salanti, Bruce Compton. Even the center is going to be coming in probably in the next 2 months to show us how to empower ourselves. But this is a mentorship program to take over as a adjutant or treasurer or commander, first vice commander and second vice commander. I've held every one of those positions, and I want to give it away. I need to give it away. This is for the young veterans, so please come and join with us, and we will teach you how to take these positions and show how to empower your own generation of veterans.
This is great. You know, it's an honor to have you two here to talk about veterans issues. You know, we don't dedicate a lot of shows just strictly to that, and we need to do that. Anyway, thank you so much, gentlemen, for being here with us.
Thank you very much, Linda.
You bet. Okay,
thank
hey,
you.
Look, tomorrow...
And thank you so much for the yes. The certificate of appreciation. Yep. We will frame it and have it lovingly remind us on the wall of your gratitude and our gratitude towards you and the veterans.
Yeah, absolutely. We can't tell you how much we appreciate that. You know, tomorrow on our show, we're going to have Tim Pappas, who is a constitutional lawyer and also a member of one of our many Tea Party groups here, and also Don Yost of the ACLU will be on tomorrow together, and we're going to talk about
that should be interesting.
How they kind of banded together to talk to the library about freedom of speech and
all
freedom
right.
to organize and freedom to meet right here and on our city property. It ought to be a good time. We'll get them started with that, and who knows where we'll go. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Fox News Radio.